Loveline is meant for an adult audience.
Loveline is meant for an adult audience.
Loveline may contain sexually oriented content.
Loveline may contain sexually oriented content.
Listener discretion is advised.
Listener discretion is advised.
1-800-LOVE-191.
Loveline starts now.
It sure does. It's my pleasure to welcome into the studio Anna Faris. You know her from Scary Movie 4 and from Friends and many other things. Hot chick.
And
I was telling her that Rob Schneider is a dear, dear, dear friend of this show. And my kids love Rob Schneider movies. And they play them in the car all the time. So I'm driving and I'll hear your voice. There he is. There's Rob. I'll hear your voice. Not that I haven't seen Hot Chick more than about 1.5 times. I've heard it about 97 times. So, funny film, though, nonetheless.
Well, thank you. It's actually my parents' favorite film that I've ever done.
And where do your parents
which
live?
Which is embarrassing. Seattle.
Seattle, where you grew up?
Yes, that's how
I was just noticing that you were born when I graduated from high school.
I can't be one of your younger guests here, Dr. Drew. I'm 29.
That makes me feel better. That's so much. That's the right thing to say. Okay. All right. Now I think I'll just go kill myself. So, and you go to college in Seattle, Washington also?
Yeah, I went to University of Washington.
You know who else went there? Joel McHale went there.
Oh, really?
From The Soup.
Oh.
He was a football player there.
No.
Yeah.
Huh.
A little older, but not by that much.
Probably not. I went there for 5 years. I changed my major 5 times.
What were you thinking?
I think it was drama. And then I didn't think I was any good at acting. It was just a tough school. And
the drama school was tough, or just tough school because it's so huge?
Both, I think. And also, I think some drama departments, whether it's in high school or college, I think can be a little bit discouraging, a little bit elitist, has been my experience. And also, maybe I wasn't very good.
So they're anointed kids. They're ones that are the good ones, and there's sort of everybody else.
Yeah, there just tends to be a lot of sort of bitter teachers involved. In my experience, I've found failed actors. But then again, like I said, it could also have been that I wasn't very good, and therefore wasn't encouraged.
Were they tough on you?
Yeah, a little bit. I've always found myself getting like a 3.0 in my drama class, and I couldn't quite figure out what that meant. I mean, obviously I wasn't great, but how could, you know, if you're not great, then aren't you just kind of bad? And
shouldn't you be doing this if you can't be really, really good?
Yeah, and I, you know, who wants to dedicate their life to, you know, sort of the acting struggle?
What would you tell, like, I'm sure there are tons of kids out there want to call you and ask you, well, what do? I want to be an actor or an actress. I'm not doing well at school. Should I give up?
Well, I think that it is, you know, it's really important to remember to just not let anyone discourage you. I think that in my own experience, probably I auditioned a lot for a lot of stuff in Seattle, and I would get jobs every now and then, little commercials or training videos or voiceover work or something. And you know, I think that experience auditioning was extremely valuable because it's a very different skill, auditioning, sort of selling yourself in a room, than actually performing.
Mm-hmm.
So that
and probably performing on stage different than performing in front of a camera, which is what you mostly do now. Yeah,
yeah, it's true.
Totally different.
It is. And, you know, I think, you know, just sort of keep at it. It's a lot of hard work. A lot of kids will stop me and ask me how they can become actors.
Right.
And I think it always kills me because I think what they want to hear is like, oh, just
here's
call
the,
this
here's
number.
Here's the formula. Yeah, here's
yeah,
where you go.
Yeah, exactly.
See this guy. Yeah.
But it's really, like most industries, it's about sort of gaining experience, finding your way in through various routes and just and climbing the ladder.
You were in Lost in Translation. What was that like?
Yeah, that was great. We shot it over in Tokyo. I was sort of hired at the last minute. I was really thrilled to be a part of that movie. And working with Sophia was great, and Bill was one of my heroes.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right, take some calls, shall we? Yes?
Yes, sounds great.
Okay, here we go. Look and see what we've got here. Oh, Max, what's happening?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. You're on with Anna Faris.
Hey, Max.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good right now.
Max.
I guess the question I had was, how would I go about convincing my girlfriend to get her clit pierced?
Ooh. Dr. Drew, I feel like you should handle, I'm not experienced enough to handle that kind of question.
What's the point? Wouldn't that be the first question? Why?
Does it desensitize it?
It can. The fantasy is, of course, that it's going to make... you know, I can just imagine what Max is thinking. Max, is your girlfriend having trouble having orgasm? Is that the problem here?
Yeah.
Yeah. Putting a bar through her clitoris is not going to make things better, okay, buddy? It just isn't.
How would I go about changing things? Because we tried some other things, and it really hasn't changed. Like, nothing's really happened.
What have you tried? I can't believe marriage is so predictable. What?
Different positions. I'm talking different kinds of, how do you say it, like toys, stuff like
right,
that.
Here's the reality. She is not going to have an orgasm with intercourse. How old is she?
She's 19.
In some women, part about 20, 22, just that sort of physiology hasn't really matured yet. It doesn't actually happen at all. So, okay. First of all, A, it's not going to happen with intercourse, guaranteed. And B, you may be putting too much or unrealistic pressure on her in the first place. But finally, 60% of women will only orgasm with some sort of direct kind of contact like oral sex. So, you want to help the guy at all? You feel comfortable?
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry, Max. I'm still sort of warming up to this whole thing.
You throw a little bit of a hardball at her. We could have started with something with softer or easier, but no.
But, you know, I do think it's really true that it takes a little bit of age and, honestly, some degree of confidence, I think, to be able to sort of give your body up as a woman to that kind of release. I think that we're sort of taught to be pretty conservative. And
yeah, but look. We can take a male and, like, beat them with a mallet to try to get them to stop what they do. They ain't going to stop. So to go, well, you know, we're kind of taught to be conservative. You know, you can do, no matter how aggressively you come at a male to be conservative, it ain't going to happen. So there's a whole different biology operating here, yeah. Is the point. And the fact is, it does connect very deeply with intimacy, as you're talking about. And to have that kind of experience with somebody is very, very deep, very meaningful for women. Not such a Max. I'm not sure it's very, just saying, not sure it's so deep and meaningful for Max. But for a young woman, that can be a very powerful experience. And as you're saying, you may not be ready to sort of give yourself into that.
But, you know, I really think probably just a lot of time and patience and, like, set aside, like, a good hour. Don't you think?
Okay.
A good hour. Good, solid
but
hour.
Not I'm just with but see again, you guys, stop, don't think like
Dr. Drew, I'm just
you're right but you're talking to Max here, and so when you say that, I know what he's hearing. So his thing is, oh, I got to keep it up for an hour and just pound away for an hour. You see, that's what
or
I have to do something directly to her genitalia for an hour, and that'll get, you know, it's like some kind of Rubik's Cube. If I work on it hard enough, I'm going to get it. And that's not the point, is it?
You're right. No, you're right.
The point is, spend an hour, give him some guidelines. This is from a woman here.
Well,
whenever we usually do it for an hour, she usually gets really sore down there.
See, like, see.
Yeah, you know what?
That's what she's not telling you to do,
I don't
do,
think
man.
I should be giving any advice. I'm
no, you're
gonna...
great. You're doing great. You're doing great. Now, so what I just need to, you know,
help me, Dr. Chu.
No, I need to help you not, I need to help you talk to these J.O. guys. That's the thing. See, because these guys, when you talk from your point of view, I hear what you're saying. Max didn't hear it. Max hears,
right.
I'm going to get in there and fight it up.
Okay.
So you give him that hour. Tell him what he should do at that hour. And this would be very, very, I think, very productive for a lot of our male listeners.
Oh, goodness me.
I mean, should he just sit and listen and talk a little bit?
Well, yeah, maybe a little bit. You know, honestly.
Okay, when you say that, the guy just goes, what? What? Sit and talk? What does that have to do with orgasms? Sit and talk? I don't get it.
I mean, I think you should ask her, you know, what really turns her on. Like, what she fantasizes about, what... Whoa.
That did you just sink into the mic here?
Oh, sorry. Dr. Zhu just told me to get right in there. So, I think it needs to be about open communication, talking to her about what she fantasizes about, what she imagines.
So spending time just listening to her and talking to her, and then...
Well, and that's a turn-on in itself, if you start really talking about, in an intimate way, what your fantasies are and what you've imagined and what you imagine when you're by yourself, you know, masturbating. And I think that that's a really important thing that young women need to learn how to do so they can know their own bodies. Is that... You guys talk about that all the time, right? I'm not breaking any new ground here.
But you're doing it in a way I think that's good. It's reaching people. It's good.
Oh, thank you.
But now a lot of young women, because that biology is different, it just doesn't feel right if you're not with another person. They're like, it just doesn't... There's no arousal because there's no intimacy.
Oh, gosh, Dr. Drew.
Just asking you tough questions.
You really are. Between Max and Dr. Drew.
So how does a woman get into that place where she can start to explore that kind of thing? Is there some sort of... mechanism for, you know, because really it's a experiential place you got to get yourself into, right?
Well, I mean,
that's why women like candles and
totally repetitive to talk about open communication again.
No, not at all.
Okay.
Because, again, remember, the guys are just thinking, okay, what do I do to her genitalia? What do I do?
Yeah.
How do I do that?
And I'm trying to remember back 10 years ago when I was 19. I didn't know what I was doing. I'm not sure that I was very satisfied in bed, or maybe even satisfying. In fact, I think when I was 18, I was told that I was a lazy lover. Wow.
Bastard.
I just confessed.
But that's so obnoxious.
Well, nice. Yeah, but maybe, I was in a relationship I didn't care very much about, so.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
That's a great little piece of information right there, because if people are thinking that they're not doing something, it may be they're not feeling something. They really need to look at that and go, maybe that's a reason I don't feel like doing anything.
Yeah.
This relationship isn't really flipping my cookie. All right, Max, if that isn't enough for you.
Sorry,
see,
Max.
See how we went from the barbell through her clitoris, to disfiguring her body, to sitting about there and just talking with her? If that isn't just an example of how men think, I don't know. All right, here we go. Let's talk to Melissa. What's up, Melissa?
Hey, how are you?
Good. What's happening?
I don't really know how to deal with this. My fiance, we've been together for almost a year now. He is trying to talk me into sleeping with other men.
Fiance. How old is this guy?
27.
Why are you getting married to this guy?
It started out, I have two friends that are bisexual, and he wanted me to fool around with them, and...
Oh, you know where that's going.
Well, yeah.
I know where it's going.
I don't really know what he expects of that. I've been friends with them for years, so...
Okay, well, he expects... Anna, what does he expect?
I think he expects that gives him sort of a free pass as well.
You're doing beautifully. What he's expecting is to swan dive into the action with she and her girlfriend.
Oh, yes,
he's expecting.
Okay.
He's expecting to you ever wonder about making out with your girlfriends that are bisexual, and then he's just going to just...
But pow. Wait, so Melissa, I misunderstood. I thought that he wanted you to sleep with other men. Is that right?
Well, yeah. It went from my girlfriends now to, well, maybe I need to get... I don't know if it's like an experience thing or something. I mean... I don't know. Yeah, now he's like, well, maybe you should get out, and see other men, too. Like, maybe an open relationship before we get married.
He's looking for a bi. That's the one where he's looking for the chance to go out on his own a little bit.
I mean, we have a baby together, so.
Melissa, I'm a little worried.
I'm a little worried, too. It's the strangest thing I've ever heard. I'm a good Southern girl. That's not supposed to go on.
It's what we call a bad sign, okay? Yeah. A really, really bad sign for this relationship. Now, either, God, I don't know what to tell you to do. You know, obviously what I'd like you to do is get a committed relationship going and form a family for this child, because that really is now your charge in life. You've given up all your other you've relinquished all your other priorities to the child, okay? Now, if this guy is incapable of that, if he's such an idiot that he's interested in just whatever, mm-hmm. that could be a pretty chaotic thing to try to do with him.
Yeah, I agree. I definitely agree. I haven't really talked to anybody about it, so I'm like, I really don't know what I'm supposed to do.
I first of all, don't do any of these crazy ideas he has.
Well, I'm totally not bisexual or for being with other men.
Well, he wants to have a threesome. That's where he's going with that. But, Anna, give her some advice.
Oh, I just think it's a really bad idea, Melissa. In fact, I mean, such a bad idea. I totally respect that he's the father of your baby. But I kind of think that it might need to be broken off. I mean, I just worry about... I think it sort of signifies a lack of respect for you and a lack of sort of commitment to the future of your relationship. I mean, imagine, like, when you guys are 40 or whatever.
Right.
And, you know, it's just... Oh.
It's kind of ridiculous, huh?
Yeah, I think so.
All right, Melissa.
Best of luck to you.
Best of luck. Good fighting. Victor.
Yes.
What's up, buddy?
How you doing? Hey,
we're good.
I've been listening to you for quite a while now. It's pretty interesting listening to you.
Excellent. You've been trying to get a hold of me. Well, here we are.
Yes.
You're with Anna Faris, from Hot Chick and Scary Movies.
And Victor, I'm not giving very good advice.
No.
I don't know. I think I'm actually going to need that.
Okay, good. You need some of her not very good advice. That's excellent. Because she actually gives great advice. So go ahead. Take a little Vicodin tonight. Take some codeine. Smoke a little heroin. That's my advice. Victor, here's where you go. Go ahead.
All right. I've been together with my girlfriend for the past 2.5 years. I'm just, a really good relationship and everything. The only thing is I feel like it's getting to a point where it's I'm just starting to get attracted to her mom or something like that. You know, I don't know if it's just, you know, I just appreciate that I'm over there, you know. They love the fact that I'm always over there helping them and everything, but I just feel like I'm starting to get attached to her or something. It's hard to describe it.
Are you close with your mom?
What's that?
Are you close with your mom, Victor? Do you have a good relationship with your mom?
Well, my mom's constantly working and everything, so, I mean, I work and then go to school and then back to work, and then so...
That's interesting.
So often, I'm usually with my girlfriend, and my girlfriend, her mom's around, so...
You've been with your girlfriend for 2.5 years?
Yeah.
Since you were 15?
What's that?
Since you were 15?
Yeah.
I don't know. Here's how I kind of put this together. This is the best way I can put this together, which is that at 15, relationships sort of run their course. They aren't meant to last forever. They're really not even meant to last 2 years. And yours has sort of lasted over its sort of natural lifespan. And at that age, you don't really know the signs of when a relationship has ended or how to end it. You feel like you have to be with, like, any relationship with your sister or something.
Yeah.
So this thing is kind of winding down. All your sort of feelings, your 17-year-old male, are not sort of focused on your girlfriend. You're not that into her anymore. And now you're around this other woman. She's the other woman you're around all the time, and she's some, you know, she's 35 or 40 or something, and she's attractive, and naturally you're kind of attractive. Now, you're not saying you're going to act on this, and you're not saying that, you're falling in love with the mom, right? I hope.
Yeah. I'm not.
What?
I mean, I don't know. It's just awkward sometimes. I mean.
Well, what I'm saying is you need to be around more different women, I think. You need to go out and date and relate to people, and I think your sort of compass is spinning, because you're sort of in a... locked in with these two women, and one you're sort of falling out of love with, and the only other one on your radar screen is her mom. All your crazy 17-year-old hormones are just going whatever's nearby. But Drew, would you agree?
I totally agree.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I think it is so true that when you're that age, it's so hard to see and to have any perspective. But it's true that relationships naturally, I think, you're right. You're so right. Have a lifespan, and it's really difficult to see when it's ending. I don't think it's necessarily unnatural for you at all to be attracted to your girlfriend's mom. I don't know. Do you, Dr. Zhu? I don't think that's
unnatural. No, it'd be unnatural for him to act on it. But for him, and he doesn't sound like the most social guy on earth. You know what I mean? It's not like he's meeting lots of people and is out there interacting, which is what he needs to do. He needs to get out there and be around other humans. And,
yeah.
And all that sort of focus on these two will kind of come off a bit. And realize it's a sign that things aren't good, right? That's, Victor, that's how you should look at all this. It's a sign that something is wrong here in both relationships. And just kind of pull away a little bit and get some other things going out in your life. Mario, what's up?
Hello?
Mario?
Yes?
You're on with Anna Faris?
Yeah, so can I tell my situation already or what?
That would be great.
Okay,
thank you for calling,
well,
Mario.
Anyway, so I'm in a relationship with this girl. Can I say her name or not?
Not.
Okay, so I'm in a relationship with her, but, like, I've been cheating on her with guys, but I don't know if I'm bi or what, but I'm kind of leaning towards the other sex now, so... I don't know what to do.
Anderson?
Confused.
Yay.
I think so. I think that was probably the most appropriate use of that drop thus far.
Right.
And did you know you were gay?
Yeah, I've always known that I was gay, actually.
Well,
I'm confused about the question.
I am, too.
But I've always wanted to, like, because I don't want to be, though.
Are you getting into your car right now?
Yeah, I'm just getting out.
Is it
out.
A pink Volkswagen Bug?
No, I have driven the Nissan Xterra.
He might be straight, Drew.
You see?
Brutal. Anderson's brutal.
I mean, I play sports and stuff.
Yeah, I know, Mario. And most older adolescent men and young adult men that are gay don't want to be gay. They wish themselves not to be, and they try to have heterosexual relationships, and God forbid some of them even get married and have kids. But thankfully, you haven't done that. You've just tried to have a relationship, and your actions have spoken volumes.
Well, I don't want to, like, endanger her life and stuff because, I mean, I have had unprotected sex with guys.
Why are you endangering your life? Let me ask a couple questions. Do you use condoms?
Sometimes. But you know what? Also, I've been kind of, like, it's kind of, like, weird because I haven't talked to anyone about it, but I've kind of been, like, addicted to internet sex, I guess.
Internet with another, you're talking to another person or just looking at pictures?
No, like I'll meet up guys from the internet.
Yeah. You're sort of, you're getting toward sexual addiction is what you're doing. You're sort of getting compulsive with your sexual acting out. And yeah, some of that is the fact that, you know, when people feel ashamed and secretive about their sexuality, it makes them act out even more.
Right.
So maybe really what needs to happen is you need to come out, be honest about your sexual orientation, find a boyfriend, just get going
and
here.
Use a condom.
Use a condom.
I really do love this girl.
And get your hepatitis, get your hepatitis B vaccine going, right?
Right.
Hep B vaccine, condoms without exception, and good times.
Yeah, but you can't be dishonest to the girl. You got to break up with her, man.
Yeah, just if you're cheating with anybody, you owe it to that. If it's somebody you really care about, for crying out loud. If you have, you know, I know a great.
Everyone in around me and stuff, they're like, I feel like everyone would turn against me or something, maybe because I'm gay, or you know, like my family, I can't come out. It's like really difficult for me.
I think you'll find most people will probably already suspect or know you're gay, and you might try Gay and Lesbian Youth Center in your town or you're in Long Beach. I'm sure they have one. I know they have one in Orange County. And talk to get some support from people, gay peers who've been through this, so you sort of build a support base if things don't quite go right, and begin this process. If you need a therapist, Del Amo Treatment Center in Torrance, you're out in Long Beach, Torrance has some good people. So it's time, though. It's time. And the more you hide it, the more you secret it, the more crazy your behaviors are going to get.
Yeah.
Why don't people wear condoms?
I don't know. I'm so depressed.
Just talking to Mario made you depressed?
A little bit.
Would have been depressed if he had got married at kids. That'd be depressing.
Yeah, you're right.
He's a young guy just figuring himself out.
Yeah, yeah.
So, we were talking about something I did in New York, Viagra. When we were off the air, we were talking about erectile dysfunction. Oh, yeah. And I'm going to be part of a campaign for Pfizer about teaching young people about erectile dysfunction. Not young people so much as men, adults, because there's some studies that came out that showed that erectile dysfunction in 35, 45, 50-year-olds is a very strong indicator of heart disease, high blood pressure, cholesterol problems, prostate problems, and most importantly, heart disease. While if we were to see regular or really kind of intermittent significant problems with erectile function in like a 20 or 22-year-old, I personally would get much more aggressive with the biological workup. And that's a very serious sign. And men don't kind of think of it that way. They don't go to their doctor about it. And so I'm going to be a part of a campaign where we talk about that.
I like that, Dr. Chu.
Yeah, good times.
Boring.
All right, Anna Faris in here. The Scary Movie 4 comes out Friday, April 14th. You all know her. She plays, again, Cindy Campbell in Scary Movie. This is a reprisal of, you've done that four times, right?
Too many
times. Yes, four times. And you know her from The Hot Chick. You can check her out in Lost in Translation. Any television coming up other than Friends?
No, I've got some other movies that I'm working on.
We're going to hear about that after we come back from our break. Here we are back on Loveline. The phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Anna Faris from Scary Movie 4 opens April 14th, rather. Know her as Cindy Campbell and the other Scary Movie projects. And then, of course, from The Hot Chick. What was the name of that character in The Hot Chick?
April.
April on The Hot Chick. I think you all will remember her from that. And now we've got a caller with a question for you. Colleen?
Hi, Anna. This is Colleen. I'm a huge fan of yours.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Absolutely sweet. Drew, you're sitting next to one of the most naturally beautiful young women.
I noticed that. It's not something that escapes me.
Yeah, I just fell in love with you at The Hot Chick, and I just wanted to know, what are you doing next? How was it working with Rob Schneider? Would you do another one? And are you married?
thank you so much for such a nice compliment. Let's see. I would love to work with Rob Schneider again. He was great. I'm not sure that...
Did you meet his dog, Oscar?
No.
No, I didn't meet Oscar. Okay.
No, I didn't meet Oscar.
Remind me to tell you the Oscar story.
Okay, I'd love that. I am married. I've been married for almost 2 years. I lead a pretty boring lifestyle, but I'm really...
What does your husband do?
He's an actor as well. And I'm my upcoming movies, I think that was the other question. Well, of course, Scary Movie 4, and I have a movie coming out this summer called Super Ex Girlfriend with
Suprex?
Sorry, I should have enunciated. Super Ex Girlfriend with Uma Thurman and Luke Wilson.
Well, that must have been interesting.
It was.
Yeah.
It was really fun. And I just finished, literally an hour ago, a movie called Smiley Face that I think should be coming out in the fall.
Who's doing that? Think about doing any theater, perhaps?
You know, I grew up doing theater. I grew up in Seattle. And
she hates it.
You know, I really found it unbelievably valuable in terms of training and gaining confidence. Maybe it might be in my future. L.A. isn't a huge theater town, but do you do theater?
I do. I'm in a few plays here in Orange County, and I do love it. But if I could work with someone as cute as her, I would be set for life. Thank you so much.
Thanks for calling.
All right, Callie, take care. Look for her in Smiley Face.
Smiley Face, yeah.
Wow, that sounds interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get back to the love line. This is Kia.
Hi.
Hey, what's up?
I have a 3-year-old daughter, and I noticed that she tends to, like, touch herself sometimes throughout the, like, every day, like, pretty much every single day, like, every time I give her a bath. And I read about it, and I just try to, like, distract her or whatever, but sometimes it freaks me out because it's, like, every day.
It's a little bit sort of startling, but it's normal for a 3-year-old to do that sort of thing, and you just don't shame her and don't freak out and don't get anxious about it. And that's sort of a primitive way that children use to regulate themselves, to sort of feel good. And, you know, if they start doing that when they're in kindergarten, it's a different thing. That's usually families that have real serious chaos.
I had another question, because that was another thing that I was, like, worried about, because, you know, I was molested when I was little. Mm-hmm. And, you know, well, I definitely wanted to make sure that that wasn't something that happened to her already.
How old were you when you were abused?
Like 8 or 9.
Okay, and who is the father of this child?
Who is the father?
In other words, here's my concern, is that one of the things that people that have been sexually abused routinely do is they get very attracted to people that are good or perpetrators, and so they bring the wolf into the home, basically, and that man, that husband, whoever that exciting guy was, ends up being a perpetrator that abuses their children.
Well, actually, I don't know, because we were together for a few years, and we ended up breaking up because he raped
good.
Me.
Oh.
Yeah.
Was he around the child?
No, like, I had to go to rehab, and he had it for, like, 6 months.
All right, so that's a concern. We don't know what, and who knows what kind of a-holes he had her around.
Yeah. But,
and he himself.
The only thing is, like, that's the first time in her whole life that he actually, like, stepped up to be a father, so I was actually, like, kind of proud of him.
Yeah, well, let's hope that's all he did. I would just talk to your pediatrician about her. Just, you know, maybe there's some signs she can look for to see if there's any possibility of real trouble. Again, a child that self-stimulates repeatedly and excessively, I would be worried about. So the pediatrician really needs to assess whether or not this
and
is too much.
Actually,
on
your, kind of
hang on, Anna's kind of quiet on this one.
Oh, I'm in over my head. I wish I knew anything about, you know, kids.
So common, child sexual abuse in kids. And
but,
so, go ahead.
I've heard a lot how, you know, the perpetrators of today are the victims of yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And I have, like, these thoughts, like, sometimes, and like, I'm afraid that I'm going to be, like, a future perpetrator. Not that I don't have desires or anything, but, like, I have, like, sometimes I have, like, violent thoughts of, like, or,
right.
like...
Yes. And that's what what you have to watch out for, I suspect, Kia, is that you act out physically with the child. Here's what you got to do. What was your drug of choice?
Meth.
Meth. And you're sober now? Oh, crap. Okay, that's the most important thing. That nothing else matters. You are going to become violent on the speed, because everyone on speed gets violent, and people get paranoid, and they start thinking really crazy things. That's when you'll do some bad stuff.
Well,
the most important thing for your child is a sober mom. You get your ass back in an NA meeting, you get a sponsor, and you start working on that. And with your sponsor, you talk about these fantasies and feelings you're having, and you work that out in recovery. You got to do that. That's what your child needs, is a sober mom right now.
Yeah, I know.
This is all the elephant in the kitchen at this point. Nothing else matters except that. So let's stop.
I was actually doing good.
Good. Then start again. Just because you relapsed doesn't mean that you're toast. You've relapsed. Let's get going again. Let's get to a meeting. Call tonight. Call your former sponsor. Talk to her. Tell her what's going on. Let's get going. Make contact again, okay?
Okay.
Kia, call your sponsor. You have a sponsor, yes?
Well, no, because I moved.
But, dude, you know you can't be sober without a sponsor.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. You didn't have a former sponsor, a phone number? Do you have phone numbers from people you went to treatment with?
Well, yeah, I do.
Okay. When we put the phone down here, you're going to call some of those people. It's time to start listening, goddammit. No, goddamn. I'm not angry with her. I'm firm. That was angry. I am desperate for Kia to get better. She's on now the verge of...
Hey,
of the, no, listen, stop it.
Listen.
Stop it.
Stop listen.
It. Stop it. What's that? I'm hearing voices in my head. They're really troubling me. Kia, so really, call those people. Call the people you're in treatment with. Some of them are still going to be sober. Make contact. Let's turn the boat around, okay?
Okay.
Okay, if you do nothing else from this phone call, do that, all right?
All right.
All right, take care. Woo. Here we go.
Hey, Drew.
Yeah.
I got a serious question for you. If you had to go to war for one cartoon, would it be South Park or would it be Family Guy?
Who?
Family Guy.
You dick.
Why? Why?
You didn't see South Park tonight.
No, what happened?
Greatest episode ever, Drew. Just go watch it somehow.
Did you see the one with when Chef returned?
Yeah, that had nothing on tonight's. And it's a two-parter.
What?
Yeah, and
what's
it's
it
all about?
About
the Family Guy.
What?
Cartoon Wars. You got to watch it.
Cartoon.
Oh, well, maybe after seeing it, then I'll go to bat for South Park.
You better go to bat for, yes.
See, I would go to bat for Matt and Trey. I'm not sure I'd go to bat for South Park. See, their brilliance shines through so much on that.
Your IQ is slipping, Drew.
But I like Family Guy better. All right. I'm going to watch it. I've got my work cut out for me tonight. All right. Do you watch cartoons?
Yeah.
Yeah. South Park?
I just think we should all work together.
Family Guy?
I'm just a pacifist, man.
Did you see the one when Chef returned?
No.
Oh, you have responsibility to see that. That's an assignment.
I agree.
Okay, there we go. Let's see what we got here. All right, let's try this. Carrie.
Hi.
Carrie, what's happening?
I just have a question. My boyfriend has OCD. We're engaged right now. We're planning on getting married in September. But I have a problem that I'm not sure I can work through with him. He will not touch my vagina.
Okay. How is his OCD? You mean he has a germophobia kind of thing?
Yeah, he just is really afraid of other people's germs. Maybe you should call back tomorrow night
when Howie Mandel's in here and see how he responds. It'll be very interesting because he has that big time.
Does he?
Oh, yeah. And you see what he does on Deal or No Deal? Where he gives people that fist. He doesn't shake their hand. Oh, yeah. He's very, very much that. Although he seems looks better these days.
Is he going to have a hard time wearing my headphones?
I'm going to tell. I'm going to rub it in and see what happens.
Tell him I haven't cleaned my ears in a long time.
Good thing it's not Collie putting those headphones on. He's kind of what he would do with them. All right, Carrie. So give me some more features of the symptoms that manifest with him. Does he wash his hands all the time?
Washes his hand a lot. I don't think he's really excessive, but he just does wash his hands a lot. He carries around, like, sanitizer, puts that on.
Does he have to, can he not touch certain furniture? Does he have to crawl across certain parts of the floor and that sort of thing?
No, not at all.
Does he do rituals? Just to stay focused here. Does he do rituals and things?
No.
No. So it's just it's a germ thing with him.
Mm-hmm. Just other people's germs.
And has he ever touched you?
No, I made him one time, and it, totally killed the moment. Like, he lost his erection, and we just couldn't do anything after that. And he really wanted
to... How does he allow his penis to touch you?
I know. That's what I keep telling him.
Okay.
Hmm.
Are you a Mormon?
No, not at all.
Thank you, Anderson. Is he on medication?
No, he's not. He has been seen once, and he was diagnosed with it, but he hasn't done anything with it since.
Was that a psychiatrist or a psychologist that saw him?
He hasn't really told me. He just barely told me that he had that.
Okay. I think you need to put your foot down. And you need to say, look, there are psychologists. There's a woman over at UCLA. Unfortunately, you're not out here in Southern California. But there are therapists that do these sort of desensitization therapies for people that specialize in anxiety disorders have some reasonable results with this kind of thing. Now, I don't have any. What they do is they basically make you touch the things you're afraid of. I don't think they'd be bringing Carrie into the doctor's office and going through that quick ritual.
Not.
But they have sort of behavioral ways of intervening, and for sure medication work really well for this. So I think you have to say, look, if we're going to get married, I can't live with this. You've got to get this treated.
That's it. End of story. I think he needs to at least show a desire to work on the issue.
Yeah.
I would think
you'd get very tired of this very fast.
Is the boyfriend a Mormon?
No, he's not either.
Why are you so focused on that, Anderson?
Well, she's calling from Utah, and I'm thinking that maybe if he was Mormon, maybe
he'd
be gay.
I'm the only
one
here that's not Mormon.
So
but
he's
you think he's? You think everybody's gay, though, Anderson?
Yeah, I know. Especially Lance.
He's not from Utah either. So
I was just thinking that maybe he was making that up because I mean I can't imagine having that kind of a problem. Whereas like if I was in the moment, that I would lose it. You know?
Yeah.
I mean?
See, that's.
Oh, but you gotta understand that. For a lot of these guys, this is an anxiety disorder. So when you sort of make them touch the things they're so afraid of, they get this powerful fear response, and then your erection doesn't work.
But what's more powerful than the boner response? Nothing.
Are you high tonight, Anderson? What happened? What went on? What happened?
I don't know.
What happened to you?
I'm not as
you're
high
funny.
As normal, actually.
Okay, that's the problem. I get it. So, Carrie, listen, we all agree that this is not something you should have to live with, and nor should he, for that matter, and it's treatable, and you need to insist that it be treated.
Okay.
And I wouldn't, I'd be really reluctant to enter a lifetime commit with somebody with symptoms that you can't live with.
Yeah, that's the one thing that's been bothering me, and I'm just thinking the closer and closer the date gets, it becomes a bigger and bigger problem. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that it really is, like, a concern that, does he want to sort of work on this? Does he recognize it as a problem?
Yeah, and he tells me that, you know, maybe we should try a dental exam, and he would touch me that way, and I got him to touch me once with my clothes on, but, like, when the clothes are off, not at all.
And do you have orgasm with intercourse with him?
No, it's very, very hard.
Yeah, so you got to have him where the action is, or it's going to be a really serious problem for you.
Mm-hmm.
It's not I see trouble. I have a crystal ball, Alan. I see this crystal ball here.
I do.
I see all those dark storm clouds.
I don't see anything
that's
there, but you see a lot.
That's trouble. That is...
Yeah, it seems
you're an actress, for God's sake. You're supposed to have an imagination.
I know.
It's trouble. I see trouble ahead, and it's such a simple problem to deal with and something that can be so effectively treated. It really is a shame that it would be something that would be a deal-breaker in your relationship, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Let's go take care of it. All right, 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. The other voice you hear here is Anna Faris. We're delighted to have the star of Scary Movie 4. Yeah, the hot chick. Again, the name of the character is...
April.
April, that's right.
Yes.
And then Cindy Campbell in Scary Movie 4, and you know her from Friends. And what did you do in Brokeback Mountain, by the way?
I had a little Chatty Cathy role. It's a really small role. Did you see it?
I didn't see it.
It's a really small role, but it was really fun. I just talk I'm in two scenes, and I talk constantly the whole way through.
Was it scripted, or just sort of, you were just asked?
It was both. Yeah. It was both. And Aang just wanted me to keep talking, and so I just did my best.
Fine. Phone number again, 1-800-LOVE-191. We're going to take a quick break, and then Anna Faris and Dr. Drew will be right back. Hi, everybody. Loveline. Anna Faris in here tonight. Scary Movie 4, The Hot Chick. She is Rob Schneider. Or Rob Schneider is... Wait a minute now. Rob Schneider's
almost
into you, yeah. Okay, and the phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191. Want to mention the names of those two upcoming movies you have also?
Sure. There's a movie called Super Ex-Girlfriend with Uma Thurman and Luke Wilson that's coming out in July. And a movie called Smiley Face with Adam Brody and John Krasinski.
He's a nice guy, Adam Brody. He was up here right at the beginning of the whole OC thing, and just a nice guy.
Yeah, he's really nice. Mm. He's really nice.
I'm glad to hear that he hasn't changed. Michelle, what's happening there?
Hey, what's up?
You're on with Anna Faris.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, how are
Isn't
you?
Isn't she doing a good job?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
She's not been listening.
Are you guys still there?
Yeah.
Okay, my phone is ringing. I've been with my boyfriend for 6 years.
Since you were 16.
And he wants to have anal sex. Like, here lately, just maybe like the past 4 months, he's been pushing it really hard. So, I don't really know how to deal with that. Like, it's never really been an issue before like it is now.
6 years, and all of a sudden he turns the corner.
Before, but...
Huh. What is your question? What is actually the question? How do you want us to frame this discussion? What is your question?
My question is what is... I don't understand his obsession with that.
Me neither.
Subject, with wanting to do that with me.
I got to tell you, me neither. I don't understand that. But maybe Anna has some insight.
I wish I knew something. I mean, do you think he's... I don't know. Well, how do you feel? Are you interested? Or, I mean, what's your stance?
I just don't think that's sexy at all. Like, it doesn't turn me on. Obviously, it turns him on, and he's very curious about it. And he has his little boy friends whispering in his ear, but it's so great, you know.
Right, right.
And so I'm just kind of baffled by the whole situation. I don't know how to deal with that, how to turn him down without hurting his feelings. But
oh,
please,
I don't think you're
Michelle,
really.
Are you kidding me? Come on.
There's no hurt feelings.
I mean, because he's really, really, really wanting to do that, like, every time he tries.
What is this with... Now, Anna, I'm so glad you're here.
Oh.
What is this with women that they're willing to put themselves through painful, unpleasant, undesirable experience to not hurt a guy's feelings. We all know men have such delicate sensibilities. I mean, he wants to have anal sex. The poor guy, we've got to just indulge him. I mean, he might be shattered by the inability to dip in there. I mean, come on. What is that in women? It's the weirdest impulse.
I think that it's because, and maybe I'm totally wrong here, Michelle, but I can only relate from my experience. When my first boyfriend, I started dating at 16, I was madly in love with him. He broke my heart like 2 years later. And but at that time, he cheated on me with 3 different women, and I forgave him each time. And I would never behave that way now.
Right.
I think that it's like, it's, I think that it's just really that first, is this like your first major relationship? And
But if we can be honest, since high school.
I could almost excuse that in Michelle for that reason, but I hear that from women, older women, yeah. women your age, women who've known a guy for a couple months.
Know that I've become a lot more confident and happier, and it's definitely reflective in my relationships that I'm a much stronger, you know, person. And I think, you know, I think maybe we're just taught to be eager to please and givers. I don't know. But Michelle, if you are not into it, I think you should not do anything you don't want to do. And you know, maybe, you know, heaven forbid, it's time to move on.
What I said, I got feelings for you. Can I prolapse your anus?
David Allen Greer, we were talking about the medical complications of anal sex. I was saying, look, I'm worried about women as they get older. That's a part of your body. This stuff already begins to happen as you age. And we're going to see women, having done this for a while, you're going to see rectal prolapse and fissures and stenosis.
We have a mess.
It's not pretty. It's not going to be good.
It doesn't sound pretty.
It's not going to be pretty. But I'm beginning to wonder if pornography is not the problem.
Yeah.
Because for a long time, I couldn't figure out where this was coming from. It just, all of a sudden, guys are preoccupied with this. And again, some of this recent studies have shown that sexual images in adolescence is changing the behavior, sexual behavior of adults. And maybe all this stuff about anal sex and pornography is making guys very aroused and directed towards that. It kind of makes sense.
I was going to ask her about porn.
Michelle.
Does your boyfriend look at a lot of porn?
Not too much. I mean, he does have Playboy, but not too much. I mean, he tries to get me interested in that. That's his whole reason. I'm going to love it, you know. It's going to be so great.
No, Michelle, you're not describing a guy who doesn't watch porn. You're describing a guy who watches a lot of porn and can't understand why you wouldn't enjoy it as much as he does.
I mean, he doesn't watch it too much with me. It's more on his own time.
We didn't ask whether he watches it with you. We asked, is this a guy who watches a lot? And he clearly is. So he may be getting his ideas from that. Tell him to stop watching the anal sex porn. Start watching soft porn.
Yeah.
Mason, what's up? Mason?
Oh, no.
Caller who goes by Mason?
He's not there. Drew, you know what else the thing with anal sex is, I think?
Please.
Guys that eat, like, you eat the same hamburger day after day after day.
No.
And every now and again, you want to pour a bunch of hot sauce on it.
Yeah, well, yeah, I can understand a guy would ask for things. Would go, let's try this. Why don't you try everything
about
this?
Especially after 6 years.
Yeah, but, dude.
Well, he's been with her for 6 years.
I'm just saying. If a lot of guys also, I'll remind you, that they find their sort of hot fudge sundae with a cherry, and they actually... More often than not, Anderson, guys get in their kind of zone, and they just want that zone every time because they just find what they like, and that's what they like. They're not so interested in doing a lot of different things. But I agree. Guys might go, hey, what have you tried this, thought about that? But not to start pounding on her about doing it. That's a different thing. You know what I mean?
He probably wants out of the relationship, too.
I'm kind of thinking that, too. I think that's possible.
I think Michelle should get out of there.
I think she should, too. Josephine.
Hi.
Hey, what's up?
I've been dating this guy for about 2 years now. We met at a bar, and recently, we began to be sexually active after like a year, and it just came up like maybe a month ago, but lately in bed, I know it sounds really weird, and I'm so embarrassed to call, but I just don't know what to do, and I don't know like how to confront him about it, but he's been like calling me daddy and saying all these really weird...
Like what? What else?
I don't even want to say it. Just things like in that nature, like referring to me as a man and stuff. And I just don't know how to like confront, because I love him so much. And, you know.
Wait, you got to be a little clearer with me. What does he say?
You know, he says like daddy, you know, like, oh, yeah, you know, really obscene. Like, I've
what?
Never been
like
with
what?
Him. Oh, my God. It's just so embarrassing. He's, like, he'll be like, turn around. I don't know. I've been like,
all right, Josephine, I got to take a little break here. I want you to sit and think about telling us, because I really, it's hard for me to I'm not doing this just to put you on the spot, though it's good radio. I'm trying to just get a better, clearer beat on what you're describing here, because him just saying daddy, daddy could be just who knows what. But on the other hand, I wonder, what it smacks up for me is some physical abuse by dad, and God knows maybe sexual abuse by dad. And
well, that's
what
how
he says
I know
could,
how to confront him about
all
it.
All right, well, hold on. We need to talk some more. So we're going to take a little break. You hold on. Anna Faris and I will be right back. The phone number is 1-800. Anna's like cringing, no, wondering what she's going to say. Here we go. It's Love Line 1-800-LOVE-191. Anna Faris, Cindy Camel, and Scambell in Scary Movie 4. I know I can't spit that out on all the Scary Movie series. Also, upcoming in My Super Ex-Girlfriend, opposite Uma Thurman. And Luke Wilson, you know her from The Hot Chick, Justin Brokeback Mountain, Friends, a lot of things.
Yeah.
I think people know you. There's April in The Hot Chick. I think that's probably the one people would know you from the most.
I don't know. It depends. It depends on, you know, that's been out for a little while.
A scary movie. People when I mentioned you were coming to the show, Scary Movie came to people's mind right away, too. So. Well, our caller who had the boyfriend who was yelling out things about dad has left the lines. We don't have her to talk to her anymore.
She dropped off.
I know. I wish she would call back. I mean, I know she's embarrassed to talk about the specific things, but it was very hard to understand what was being described. Him just saying, oh, daddy, daddy. I mean,
no, he asked her to turn around at one point. I mean, can you imagine that?
Yeah, shocking. That's shocking. I can't imagine that. So that's the point. I didn't really get it.
But I did think it was odd that they hadn't, I mean, not that, I think I applaud, but that they haven't been sexual for a year, I thought.
That was, I kind of missed that. You heard that, I didn't hear that, and I would want to explore that and what that was all about. But nothing about anything she said specifically to me meant anything about his sexual orientation.
Right, right.
But certainly when people have been traumatized, again, something I say over and over in this show, and you should listen to this, things that are traumatizing and terrorizing in childhood become highly arousing and attractive in adulthood and after puberty. That's the crazy thing about the human brain. And so this may be arousing material for him because it was traumatizing when he was a kid. So maybe that's why it kind of came into the bedroom there, or maybe something bad happened to him, and, you know, there are hints there of what happened. Though, I couldn't say that based on what she just said. So, all right, let's take a couple calls here. This is Sean. What's up, Sean? Nope, can't get Sean on the line. Let's talk about Rachel. Rachel, what's happening?
Hi. Oh, man, a lot of stuff has been happening. Basically, this main thing that's been happening lately is I'm trying to figure out, like, if I'm bi or not. It's just been really confusing. I think it's connected to a past relationship that I've had, and I was just completely screwed over by the person. Like, I lost my virginity to them, and I thought they were, like, the one person, you know, like, that I would be with for a while, and it just, you know, and my friend, she's, you know, my best friend, she actually, she's like, you know, he's a dud, you don't need him, and all that stuff, and she basically got with him, and within a week, she said that she loved him, and they got married, I think, after a month of being with each other, and...
That's wild. She was discouraging you from being with him, and then plucked him off herself.
Yeah, and so it's like, you know...
How long were you with this guy?
I was with him for, like, 4 months.
Okay.
So, I mean, I know that's not a long time, but it's just like, you know what I mean? It's just... I don't know, it was a mistake, I guess you could say, but it's kind of like when I was younger, you know, I've been through a lot of stuff too, and...
No doubt. I'll get into that in a second, but Anna's got a question.
Well, so, is there like a friend that you've grown really close to, or why do you think you're bisexual now suddenly?
It's just, I've never done anything or anything like that, but it's just kind of like, okay, well, maybe since I've been screwed over by so, you know, like...
Well, Rachel, let me add the score up. You picked an idiot to fall in love with. he left you, and you had an extraordinarily intense reaction to that.
Yeah.
And to the point where you're thinking about becoming gay, or at least being bisexual.
Yeah.
That I add that score up, and I predict abusive a-hole dad.
My dad, no. But my mom, she was abusive. And
okay.
I was actually adopted.
What, from where?
Within family, my biological mom, she did drugs, and her relationships were unsteady. And actually, she was married to my biological father. I don't know who he is.
Okay, I guarantee you who he is. Look, first of all, he married your addicted, abusive mom. He's the same thing. I guarantee you. And God knows what you were witness to as a child. The point is, a relatively normal and albeit extremely unpleasant situation with the girlfriend leads to you being shattered. Mm-hmm. That's a recapitulation of early experiences. It's like a post-traumatic stress disorder. And I will tell you that one of the more common ways that women do sort of go from being heterosexual to gay mm-hmm. is by being brutalized by men.
Yeah.
Abandoned, brutalized. And that's sort of what you've gone through, is brutality several times, both with your mom and now with the biological dad and now with this guy. Mm-hmm. And that's what often leads to women sort of going, to hell with men. It's just brutality. Forget it.
Well, actually, I didn't really know him. I was taken away when I was born, but I actually was molested when I was younger.
All right. Again, brutality.
Yeah.
But listen, none of this is really going to sort out very well unless you get some treatment. Are you an addict also?
No, I've never done drugs. I never done it because I didn't want to turn out like my biological mom.
Right. I kind of sniff it on you. Do you ever think you have a problem with you? Were you worried you'd have a problem with substances?
No. But I take medicine, like for ADHD or something, and but that's it. Uh-oh. But
be careful.
What happened?
Well, you're taking stimulants, no doubt, and that can lead to addiction. It's okay to take it up to about 18, 19, but then you have to be very, very careful with it.
I want to get off of it because I'm really weary with medications, and I miss organic.
Yeah, good.
Anyways, but yeah, and so actually I was taken away when I was younger, like really, so I didn't even know who my biological father was, but I know that he was abusive towards her, and so...
No doubt.
So...
Anna?
I really think it sounds like there's so much that we could talk probably for hours. I think that you really could use some professional help. I don't know if that you have those kinds of resources, but at least someone to just talk to.
Yeah. I do. I just need to get on that track because I've been like just focusing on work and school.
All right, get on your mental health track.
You'll feel so much better.
Yeah, I think a therapist is a great option. Moratorium on men and women for a while. Just kind of focus on dealing with some of these trauma issues and sorting your feelings out a little bit, then decide who you want to be with. Because right now, you're going to pick bad people. That's just, again, based on that theory of things that are traumatizing, abandonment, neglect, abuse in childhood, leads to you choosing and being attracted to and aroused by abandoning, abusive, neglectful people in your adult life. So let's not do that. Keith, what's happening, Keith?
Hey, how's it going, bro?
Good. What's up?
Nothing. Oh, I was just calling to...
Talk to Anna Ferris?
About piercings. And I started when I was, 19 with piercings. And it's kind of just like, I kind of obsess about it.
Nice.
It's weird. Like, it sounds weird. I enjoy the pain of a piercing.
Right. Do you take, do you smoke a lot of pot or take painkillers, anything like that?
No, not at all.
Huh. Did you ever?
Oh, I have.
Okay.
Yeah, I have.
Because that addiction to the rush of piercing is sort of an opioid thing. People that are opiate addicts will do that or have taken a lot
like
of...
Yeah, like the almost nirvanic state after you...
Right. That's the endorphin effect. And so did we ever into, painkillers or anything like that?
No. I smoked some weed when I was in high school, but, I mean, the only thing that I could probably say is I have Crohn's disease. I got diagnosed with it when I was...
Okay, well, you were exposed to tons of opiates with
that.
What is that? It's an inflammatory bowel disease. It can be pretty bad, too. I mean, your bowels...
Is it really painful?
Can be. Bowels can come to the surface and break through. Oh. It's just awful sometimes.
Well, what ended up happening with it is, the medications for Crohn's disease...
I know a lot of them. What are you specifically... What are you referring to?
Well, I was on Azacol, which is...
That's a mild one, Asacol, yep.
Which is an IBS medication, mainly. And I was basically misdiagnosed, and my doctor basically told me that I needed to eat more red meat while I was skinny. Like, I was 97 pounds, 5'7", 97 pounds.
Okay.
And he basically told me, oh, you're just not eating enough meat. I left for college, and your diet changes when you leave college.
Keith, where are we going? We got to get to it. Where are we going with this?
Oh, well, what I was saying is I had pain for like 5 years straight.
Okay. Did you take pain pills or pain medication? Never.
No pain.
Okay. All right.
It's almost this weird feeling that, like, when I have that little bit of pain, it, like, reminds me of what it used to be and how good my life is now.
Mm-hmm.
I was hospitalized, like a year ago.
Remember what I was saying about how experiences of terror become very attractive later?
Yeah.
It's a way of sort of, think of it, the way psychologists think of it is an attempt to master the things that were so terrorizing for you before. So if pain was terrorizing, magically we go out and bring pain on ourselves.
Yeah.
And that's what you're doing. You're enjoying the pain, but under your terms.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then you've also learned how to get that endorphin rush with it, and so it is a very rewarding kind of an experience for you. Not a healthy experience by any means, not the way you should be dealing with all that, but it's natural that kind of thing would happen. Emily, what's happening?
When I started receiving oral, my body would fall asleep. And then when I started having sex, then my whole, like, body falls asleep. Like, it feels like pins and needles.
So whenever you have sex, you get numb all of your body?
Pretty much.
At the point of orgasm or what?
No. It doesn't ever get to that, but it feels like my whole body becomes numb. Like, especially my face.
Especially your face. Well, go ahead.
Okay, I wish I had something to say. I don't know. I've never heard of this section.
So is it around your mouth and your hands primarily?
No. It's basically like my head and my ears and then my eyes and then like...
Well, the most common reason for that would be either hyperventilation or Valsalva. Like you bear down so hard that you slow your heart down. So those are the two sort of typical reasons. But I bet it's hyperventilation. You're just breathing too hard.
Really? But even when that's weird.
Even when I?
No, even when getting oral, like, that it would do that?
Well, if you get all excited and breathe too hard, yeah.
Oh, all right.
Do you think
I would talk to your doctor about it, because I worry about cardiac things of various sorts. I mean, that definitely, you know, that's not a normal symptom. And even if it's that bearing down, you know, when for whatever reasons people get their own sort of muscular reactions, if you have a Valsalva reaction, you can really slow your heart down, and that can bring out something congenital or something pre-existing in your heart.
Yeah, I think you should talk to a doctor.
You need to
go
to the doctor.
What's up, Alex?
Get checked out.
Alex?
Yeah.
What's happening?
Hi, I just wanted to, I told you I'd call you back, like, 3 years ago. And I didn't just start listening to the show till recently again. So I'm calling you back to thank you, essentially.
What happened?
Well, a few years back, I called you as bipolar, and I happened to be high at the time I called you, which was very stupid. And you told me to get treatment. So I went in to AA, and I got treatment shortly after. I quit using, but then I went into AA because I was just kind of messed up and wanted some help. And...
That's all it takes.
Yeah,
right?
That's all it took. I mean, a lot of my using was because of my eating disorder, which I still haven't gotten.
But all it takes is a desire to get better.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
That's all it takes. You just got to go in and sit down, put your butt in a seat.
I didn't want to do it anymore, mm-hmm. and I was definitely ready to hear that. Mm-hmm. I needed help. Mm-hmm. So it was until your prodding that I actually got off my ass and did something.
Time to start listening, goddammit. I think I remember you making you promise me to go, that you'd go.
I think I did.
Yeah, I think you promised.
I remember calling, and I chickened out. They said
well, good.
I didn't have that big of a drug problem.
Right, in your mind anyway.
So, well, okay. I'm like, I only take, like... 10 Vicodin a day, and I'm allergic to the medication.
Oops.
And I still take it.
Oops.
Yeah, oh yeah.
I'm glad you're sober. You sound much better.
Yeah.
Good for you for having the strength.
Yeah.
To go through that journey.
Thank you. But I just wanted to thank you and just let you know I'm alive.
Okay, thanks, Alex. Keep coming back, all right?
Okay, bye.
All right, bye. This is Sean. Sean?
Hello?
What's happening?
Hey, Drew, how's it going?
Good. What's up, buddy?
Nothing much. Hey, I had a question for you. I had a friend about a year ago, and I was in high school, and we were, you know, pretty close friends. And he had some things go on with his family, or his parents. They got divorced, split up, and he moved away with his dad to L.A. And he had a sister who stayed behind, who was younger than me, who, you know, we just kind of lost contact and everything like that. And I ended up kind of, I hooked up with her while he moved. And I just thought I'd never talk to him again, and it was no big deal.
Just do it!
And?
And, well, anyways, he recently moved to the area where I'm at now, and we're talking and stuff and friends again. And I was just curious if I should, should I tell him or just act like it never happened, or...
Anna?
Oh, gosh.
Tough one.
Did he ever say what he did?
Yeah, what did you...
He never said it.
We said he hooked up. He didn't say what that meant.
Well, it wasn't anything big. I mean, I was...
Sean, just say that you slept with his little sister.
I slept with his little sister.
Thank you.
Well, did you handle, like, were you cool to her? Or did it sort of end kind of badly?
With her?
Yeah.
And then, it was kind of like real secret. She's a Mormon. You know, that wouldn't fly. It's a pretty Mormon area.
Then don't you owe it to her to keep it quiet?
Yeah.
I wouldn't mention
anything. I mean...
Do you still have a relationship with her of any type?
No, not at all.
You couldn't talk to her and say, hey, do you mind if I bring this up with your brother? Do you have any feelings about it? So you've been hiding out from her, haven't you?
Yeah, I pretty much avoid her.
Yeah, you feel guilty.
Yeah.
All right.
Just recently, we just started hanging out and stuff again, and he's
freaking you out.
Incredibly protective of his sister.
Oh, and, boy.
You know, the reason why I think I feel so guilty is because I have a younger sister, and, you know, I'm incredibly protective of her as well.
How much younger are we talking about here?
Well, for me, my sister's 13. His sister is, she's 17.
All right, so 1 year younger than you. And by the way, she's a, I don't want to quite say it like this, but I'm going to, is a grown-up. She's a separate person, let's put it this way. She's of her own mind, and she chose to do this thing with you. It's not like you coerced her into it, I hope.
How old were you guys when you hooked up?
I was 17 and she was 16.
Oh, okay. Well, I think that Dr. Drew is right. I think that you really owe it to her. It might get brought up, in which case it's going to be pretty awkward, but I think...
Here's what you need to do. Here's the right thing to do, I think.
Okay, what's the right thing?
Is to, and if you, and Sean, you seem, although you're scared and freaked out and feel guilty.
Yeah, feel horrible.
The reality is you should make contact with her.
Really?
And you should have some sort of a relationship with her, and that's really confronting your guilt, is tell her you feel bad and that you didn't really, you know, you were just, you know, you care about her as a person, you care about her family, and you felt as though, you know, I don't know, you got too close, things got out of control, and you'd like to be her friend.
That's brilliant.
All right, so just stay away, you know, try not to tell him, and just...
No, don't tell him. I did this once, and the last thing you want to do is tell him. You don't want to tell him.
What did you tell, Anderson, did you tell the guy?
No, I didn't tell the guy.
Yeah,
he knew, but it was just kind of like unspoken, no one talked about it. But I didn't dick her over, so...
the way Sean did?
Yeah. He didn't say it, but it sounds like he did.
Well, here's what he did. He had a one-night, he had a hookup, and then he ducked out, and he's been hiding out ever since. And the only way to really square on this is to come out of hiding.
Yeah. What do they say? Yeah. The hardest thing to do is usually the right thing to do, or the best thing to do, something like that.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And this is really isn't between you and your best friend, although it weighs on that relationship. It's between you and her. And to really square that relationship is what you need to do. And if she has to tell you that you really hurt her feelings and she was hoping for something more, you got to sit there and take those punches.
Yeah.
And you got to sort of make amends. And you got to be honest. And don't feel you have to do things that she wants to do. You're a separate person, too. And you don't want to have a relationship right now or whatever. And whatever. You got to tell her and be honest and to reconcile that relationship.
And you know what? Later on in life, she's going to be so grateful that you helped sort of heal that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because she probably feels it's her fault and there's something wrong with her. And who knows what she's thinking? You're just an 18-year-old guy who's ducking out. Really?
Yeah.
Okay, you care about this family, you care about her. This, you have a chance to do something good here. Do it.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Good luck.
All right, thanks.
Was it a one-night stand?
Yes. He just hooked up one night, and then he just vanished.
She's a Mormon. He could marry her and maybe have a couple other wives afterwards if he becomes a Mormon.
Oh, yeah. You're always thinking.
He becomes Mormon with her.
Jeremy.
Hi.
What's up, buddy?
I had a question for each of you, actually. I had one for Anna. I was wondering if you had planned on going out to your regular vacation spot that you go in the summertime.
You mean Ross Lake?
Yeah.
Bass Lake?
Ross Lake.
Ross Lake.
Yeah, I missed last year.
Where's your psycho sound there, Anderson? Isn't that what we're looking for here? How do you know where she goes on a regular vacation?
I used to work up there. I was there a few, like 5 years ago.
Who is this again?
Jeremy. My name is Jeremy. I worked up there.
I miss it so much up there. I love it.
Yeah.
By the way,
I was just curious.
Seattle, wait, hang on a second, Jeremy, before I ask your second question, but Seattle has this reputation of horrible weather and rain and cold and stuff. That's just a myth to keep everybody else away. Every time I go there, it's 72 and breezy and billowy clouds and beautiful and spectacular. However, I must admit, every time I suggest that to somebody who lives in Seattle, they like grab my shirt and go, no, you understand, it's breezy all the time. They get very upset about that because I guess it is pretty miserable much
Jeremy,
of the time.
Yeah. Jeremy can attest.
So what was your other question, Jeremy?
I had a chemical dependency question for you.
Yeah.
I was in recovery for about 3 years for pretty much everything. And on New Year's of this year, I had quit, and I went out and drank a little bit. And I was just wondering, in your opinion, do you find it possible for someone to kind of like become not an addict, I guess?
No.
I've kind of been drinking here and there since then. Not every day or anything, but I used to be like
What was your drug of choice when you were using it actively?
It was meth and coke.
Yeah, so you're a stimulant addict. So it will take a while for the alcohol to ramp up, but you will find it magically getting you back to the cocaine. Magically. Because that's how the biology works. So, no, you don't lose addiction. It's not suddenly out of you. You didn't get a new brain since you were 24.
Yeah,
it's in your system, it's in your biology, it's there, and it's going to ramp back up again.
I have a friend, Jeremy, who struggled with coke, and she's said in the past that she's only one drink away. And I keep thinking about that.
Well, see, in his case, he was not an alcoholic yet. And then so he went out and tested, and he found he can control his alcohol use. So he figures, well, I'm cured, I'm not an addict anymore. But he'll be back.
It
ramps back up again, and off he goes. And addicts have to go out and test this. They always have to go do it for themselves, see for themselves. He'll see. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. Anna Faris from Scary Movie 4 and 3, 2, and 1, as well as The Hot Chick and, let's see, Brokeback Mountain, Just Friends, Lost in Translation, new movie called My Super Ex-Girlfriend, and Smiley Face coming out in the summertime. You can see her in all those places, and she has lots of fans calling us, so give her a call, give me a call after this break. And that phone number, 1-800-LOVE-191. Anna Faris in here, Dr. Drew, and we'll go right to the phones with Jonathan. What's up, Jonathan?
Hi. Basically, want to start with my question?
Yes, start with your question.
Okay. My question is, basically, I've been with five hookers since I was 18. I know it's a normal thing for a lot of guys to have hookers. My only problem is that I had no problem with talking with girls, but it just seemed like I was always afraid to go out with them. And it was always easier to get like a hooker because all you had to do was pay money and then they give you sex. And it just...
Most people, just so you know, you sort of toss that off as such a common thing for a 20-year-old male. It's not that common. I mean, I'd say it doesn't happen, but back me up on that.
I don't know if it's that common.
I would see more guys having a barrier to do that than to close a deal with one of their peers. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a little more that you don't perceive that barrier is what's sort of interesting here. You see it as more difficult to have a real person as opposed to just an object you pay for.
Exactly, but at the same time, I don't know, since I'm on the radio, I don't know if I should say this or not, but basically that I was never able to finish, you know. I mean, I'd have sex with them, but it's just like towards the end, I kind of grossed out or something like that, or, you know, there was no connection, you know.
Yeah. So how come you haven't tried to make one with a person?
Well, basically, all right, I'm in the Army, you know, I've done a lot of things.
Do you have post-traumatic stress or something?
Oh, no. I mean, I've not been through any combat or anything like that. But, I mean, my past, my relationship with my mom, that type of thing, I mean, I had pretty screwed up childhood, not compared to some of the other people, I bet. But, you know.
Well, let's hear about yours. What was screwed up about it?
All right. Well, my mom, she was a germaphobic. You know, I always had to take showers all the time, and, you know, basically I could never go outside without if I stepped outside, I'd take another shower because it, you consider that dirty. I mean, I couldn't even go outside and play with my friends. I only could play out inside at certain times.
That sounds more like a schizophrenic type thing, more than just germophobia. That degree of psychotic rigidity that she's sort of foisting on you, was she schizophrenic?
No.
Huh. Okay.
Are you close with her now? Do you have anything really?
No, I'm just close to my stepmom. My stepmom's completely opposite. She's normal, you know, basically, right. If you want to call it normal. You know, whatever any other mom would be like.
How come you don't get some help with all this?
I'm sorry?
How come you don't get some help with all this?
Well, I mean, for me, I don't know. All I ever tried to do was just focus on my work. And just like, maybe I thought if I just kind of forgot about it, you know, it'd be past, you know, in the past. I can leave it in the past, you know.
Well, things that you don't think about don't get left in your brain. They're left in your past. They leave an imprint on your brain.
I want to know where he gets his hookers and like how much he pays and that kind of thing.
All right. Jonathan?
Jonathan, you live in Santa Monica. Where do you find? How'd you find out about hookers to begin with? How'd you find? Like, did someone tell you this one's good?
Well, most of the time it was just basically, I live in a trailer park. I mean, that's not the
in
most
Santa Monica.
I, yes.
That's There's not allowed. That's illegal.
So
pretty much, yeah. I mean, but you know, there's people inside a trailer park that knew people that did that type of thing. You know.
And what do you pay?
I pay about $40 to $60.
Oh, that's pretty good. And, I mean, and have you had sex with anyone besides a hooker?
No.
Then you're still a virgin. Sorry.
What?
It doesn't count. When guys are counting up, we always say, how many girls have you had sex with? And hookers don't count. Kind of like a layover. If you have a layover in Cincinnati, doesn't mean you've been to Cincinnati.
Okay, so when I talk to a girl, I can say I'm a virgin.
I'm a hooker.
Yeah, you're a virgin.
Hey.
You can say Anderson called you a virgin. Declared you a virgin.
All right. Make
Anna, what's up?
Well, I just think, Jonathan, it sounds like you're lacking healthy relationships, whether it's with men or women. And it sounds like, you know, I don't know if there's people that you can, that seem like good people in your life that you can sort of nurture friendships with and you know, possibly get, talk to a therapist about.
But even just having good
mom.
Friends around is a great idea. That you just have the capacity for tolerating closeness is what Jonathan needs to develop. Look, if any of you are wondering, am I healthy, am I not, am I screwed up? If you can function satisfactorily in work and love and play, if you can have satisfaction and productivity and feel good about those areas of your life, for the most part, you're okay. But if things are messing up in one of those areas, you might want to look into it. And Jonathan, I'd look into it. I would really look into it. Jamie, what's happening?
Hey.
Hey.
So my boyfriend and I'm going to try to keep this real short and sweet. We both believe that we shouldn't have sex until we're married.
Okay.
And I messed up in the past, and I've actually had a lot of sex. And
Hold on. You, this is a new relationship.
Well, we've been dating about a year and a half now.
And during that time, you've not had sex.
Right. We've not had sex with one another.
And does he think you're a virgin?
No. He knows that I'm not a virgin. We've been through that whole thing.
Is he a virgin?
He is a virgin, yes.
And does he know how many people you've been with?
He's had sex with five hookers, though.
He doesn't know. He says that he doesn't want to know how many people I've been with.
Oh, boy. Okay.
My problem is...
you're having to feel guilty about your past.
I don't really feel guilty about it.
Well, you described it already as having messed up.
Well... Okay, yeah. I guess.
All right, it's your past. You don't have to live up to his expectations of your past. You were making choices. You were a young adult. How many guys did you have sex with?
Three.
All right.
But two of them I wasn't dating. It was just kind of a...
Yeah, and Anna's like, only three, for God's sakes. What's the matter with you, Jamie?
I had a lot of sex with those three, though. That's...
Well, two of them you only hooked up with, right? Or were they sort of friends with benefits?
Friends with benefits kind of thing, yeah.
All right, three guys. That's sort of, you know, normative in today's world. I mean, in fact, little slim, little thin, right?
Right.
And you have to feel guilty about it because he has a more idealized need for you to be a certain way?
Mm-hmm. It's not really about me feeling guilty. That's not really what my question's about. Mm. But
Well, we're planning on getting married, right?
Yeah.
So I'm worried about the wedding night when we have sex because he's never had sex before, and so I know he's going to, like, go, like, almost in 2 seconds he's going to have an orgasm. And
right.
So I had this great plan where during the engagement I would not masturbate or, you know, do anything to, like, have an orgasm. That way,
what other things do you do besides masturbate?
Well, I mean, we do things together sometimes.
I see. So you just actually not had penetration.
Right.
That's where you guys draw the line, the plane of the vagina. Everything else is not sex, but...
Right.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting, but go ahead.
And so I told him about my idea, and he thought it was a great idea. Now he wants to do it, too.
So okay, so you are not going to have any sexual pleasure for the period of your engagement, so because he's going to orgasm really quickly? I'm getting a little confused.
So that I would orgasm quickly.
It takes you 2 seconds?
What?
Well, I'm just worried. I'm a little bit worried about your plan.
No matter what you're going to do, it's not going to be enough. Because
right.
She's saying it's going to take him 4/10 of a second. And unless you can do that, you're not going to keep up with him.
But I think it's really sweet and really generous. And nobody says you have to orgasm on your wedding night.
Well, I'm not really worried about me. I'm worried about him being embarrassed about it. Like, if he goes in, like, 2 seconds, isn't he going to feel bad? Like,
Can't he... get up for, it's his wedding night, can't he spend a little more time doing a few more push-ups, as it were?
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't
sure.
have to be just one time.
I'm sure we'll go all night long. I'm very excited about it, actually.
All right. So
I think it's a great plan. I think you're right on track, and I think it's really generous and really sweet. I don't think you should worry too much about him being self-conscious.
I think he'll be into it. Don't worry about him. Jamie, stop worrying about him. You guys worry about guys way too much. He is
so
going to be
true.
So happy just to be having sex with you. He wants to marry you. He's going to be a very, very happy man. Stop. And by the way, you start putting all these idealized needs of the whole thing being this perfect experience. It's going to always disappoint.
No, I do that all the time.
Stop it. And you're feeding into his needs for that kind of crap, too. He's got all these idealized needs for who you're supposed to be. Come on. Just be Jamie. It's fine. That's who he wants to be with. Okay?
Great. Thank you.
Yes?
Yes. Thank
okay.
you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, my goodness. This is Rita.
Yes?
Hey, what's happening?
Well, let's see. You have to forgive me because I feel a little nauseous talking about it, but I have, I guess, a recurring dream where I'm penetrated anally. And it's always very humiliating, usually in front of other people. And more often than not, the perpetrator is my sister.
Huh. Weird.
Wow. And is it sexually satisfying in any way, or pleasurable, or arousing?
humiliating, really.
Why do you ask about that? I'm just curious.
Well, just because...
Because sometimes, I'll tell you, but let me... show my card, is it sometimes that's more conflicted when people do. They get even more upset.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but no, there's nothing sexual
to learn
about
it. Just trying to learn.
Nothing sexual about it, though, Rita.
No, and of course it disgusts me, and I you know, actually getting the words out and talking about it, it's just, it makes...
What else going on in your life? What else going on in your life right now?
Well, actually, I mean, I'm doing pretty well right now. Let's see. I guess.
What had been going on in your life?
I'm sober now.
Yeah, I get drug addict all over this.
Oh,
this has nothing to do with your sister. You're what?
I'm gay, too.
Uh-huh.
And so then I feel even weirder about the whole thing.
So are you a trauma survivor also?
Not that I know of, no.
All right. And what was your drug of choice?
Alcohol and cocaine.
Are you on any medication right now?
Yes.
What are you taking?
Effexor, Wellbutrin, and Seroquel.
You need to go to the doctor.
Okay, so that's a pretty powerful combination.
Get checked out.
Yeah, she is, believe me. That's a pretty powerful combination of antidepressants, and particularly Effexor, Wellbutrin, cause some very, very weird dreams. Pharmacologically. So it may be the medication. Now, clearly something is emerging in terms of your feelings of shame and disgust and whatnot about yourself, And look, drug addicts in early recovery all feel tons of shame. That's really one of the primary symptoms and experiences that drug addicts need to contend with. Now, here's the key question. Rita, sponsor, yes or no?
No, not at the moment.
All right. This is why you're having trouble. Get yourself a sponsor. Go to a meeting tomorrow morning. Go to the Sunrise meeting. Raise your hand. Say, I need a sponsor. Get one and sit down and start doing the goddamn steps, okay?
Yeah.
You're flailing right now. Who knows what this is all about? You're out flapping in the breeze early in recovery without any structure around you. You're going to have all kinds of horrible feelings. Get a sponsor, okay?
Okay.
All right. Don't worry about what this means. It probably means nothing, frankly. Getting overwhelmed tonight.
Is it me?
No, it's not you. Actually, I think you're a very open, emotional person, and so it's like making me go to that kind of place a little bit. Let's really quickly get to Billy here. Billy.
How's it going, guys?
Hey, good. Billy. What's happening?
I've had a lot go on in the last few months. I'm 23 years old, married currently, married for 3 years, in a relationship for 5. Just recently, back in January, she kicked me out, which didn't make sense because the 2 weeks before she kicked me out were probably the best 2 weeks that we had had. But since then, she kicked me out. She started working at a strip club. And
perfect. This is because that's somebody who can't tolerate closeness. That's somebody who's been abused or something.
Right,
and when they
right,
get close,
when
they
I met
freak
her, she
out.
She was actually anorexic. Childhood, growing up, she was in a very strict church. Where they weren't allowed to hang out with anybody except for people from the church.
Believe me, something more than that was going on. The reason that she wasn't allowed to hang out with anybody because they were afraid she'd say stuff about what was going on.
Right. And that's what I've always wondered, you know?
Yeah, and, for sure. You were getting close to her. You guys actually got close. When people that have real serious stuff get close to someone, they freak out.
Right. Yeah, and you know, and I've always known that. You know, she couldn't stand the fact that I had a relationship with my parents.
Ooh, interesting.
Anytime I hung around them or they called me, she told me I was talking to them too much on the phone. She didn't really care for me going around them.
Right, she had to monopolize you, control you. Interesting.
Right. Definitely. And my parents,
Billy.
You know, my parents kept telling me that, but
what about some help for her?
You know, I'm trying, and I've tried to talk to her, and now she's doing cocaine now.
I was going to say, this is a setup for addiction, too, if she's got biology.
And, you know, I've tried to talk to her about that. You know, I was in the military. I was... You know, I saw drugs, you know, I was in the Coast Guard, so I was doing search and rescue and law enforcement, you know, so I learned a lot about drugs.
Oh, boy.
Come on.
No, honestly, you know. No,
I was coming on to Anderson, not you, Billy, you're fine.
Okay.
Anderson's making fun of you.
So, you know, I tried to talk to her about it, and she says that I need to loosen up because I've never tried drugs.
Now, this is wonderful.
Here's your deal, Billy, you're a rescuer. You got to rescue broken people, and you found a good project here in her, and you figured you're being a nice guy, take away from all those bad guys she used to date, right?
Yes? You know, she was actually a virgin when I met her, and she'd only dated, like, 3 guys.
Not such good guys, though, I imagine.
I don't really know. I mean, you know, she was 17 when I met her in high school, so.
How old were you?
18.
Okay. Anyway, I actually wrote a book about this. It's called Cracked, if you want to read something about how... I'm not selling the book so much as it can give you a sense of I get nothing out of it, believe me. What codependency is all about and how boundary issues like this emerge and why people need to rescue other people. And now you're hell-bent on fixing her, right?
Right.
Yeah. And
what does he do? Does he not fix her? I mean, he probably can.
He probably can't.
But what does he do? Does he walk away?
Do you have any relationship with her?
You know, I talk to her on the phone, and I see her every once in a while, but it seems like the only time that I do see her is when she needs something. Like, she calls me at 5:30 in the morning all high off coke and feeling sick and need to ride home. You know?
Really, so. Here's what this is going to sound like a weird advice, but you either going to Al-Anon or getting a sponsor, or you yourself getting a therapist would be the best.
I already have one.
All right. So you let your therapist help you deal with her.
Uh-huh.
And just follow those directions, because trying to contend with this on your own is too big a project for one person.
Right.
Hopefully you can get her to some real help. She needs some major work here.
Yeah, it sounds like she's just going
to take... Is there a way to get her to realize that it's a problem, or is it something she's going to have to find out on her own?
For the most part, people have to reach a bottom with this kind of thing. You're just going to keep at her about how painful it is to see her sinking like this, how you're gaining insight into what's really going on, how you'd like to help her, and just keep offering the help. And if you have any leverage, use it. In other words, if you have any, if she needs money or she needs something from you, and you can say, I'll give you that if you go see somebody and talk to somebody. Okay?
Right.
All right, Billy. You, don't, you guys right. don't have kids Thank together, you. Do you? Please no, please what? No, please no. What you guys don't have kids? You have kids together?
No.
Ah, good. At least there's that. At least that. All right. Anna Faris in here tonight. This is we're actually preparing her for Scary Movie 5 tonight. You know her from Hot Chick. The phone number here is 1-800-LOVE-191. We're going to take a little break and be right back. There we go. It's a love line. 1-800-LOVE-191. Anna Faris in here. Scary Movie 4. And many other projects, including Smiley Face. I got to see what that's all about. That'll have three more names before it goes to air. Anyway, and of course, Hot Chick, she plays April. Let's go to the phones. We've got a few more minutes here of Loveline. Melissa, what's happening, Melissa?
Me and my boyfriend have, like, been in a relationship for, like, a whole year. And both of us are virgins, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And, well, you know, he thinks he's ready to have sex with me, right?
Yeah.
Every time he gets on me, like, tries to get on, like, yeah. He does this stuff, you know, yeah. It turns me off.
Okay, Anna. Or, I mean, Melissa, I beg your pardon. Melissa. Yeah. Mm-hmm. When you say, yeah, we have no idea what you're talking about. So, if we're to follow you, you must describe to us what you're talking about. So, what does he do?
Well, when he tries to kiss me, he bites my lower lip.
Okay, well, tell him not to do that.
He's sensitive.
Yeah, well, in the meantime, he's turning you off. That's going to make him even more unhappy. Mm-hmm. Just say, I don't like that. That feels uncomfortable to me. Mm-hmm. It's perfectly accepted. By the way,
this goes back to what you're saying.
At the very beginning, why do women do this? But I tell you what, guys love direction. Guys want direction. They're just fishing around trying to find that thing that works for you. If you tell them, that's like the keys to the city.
And you can use positive reinforcement. Mm. Say, oh, I like it when you kiss me like that. Or, you know, the encouragement.
Yeah. So what do I say about him about sex toys? He buys this stuff.
Like, and you're not ready for that yet.
No, I'm not.
Those are the words you use.
No.
I'm not. You're very clear. I heard you. I'm not ready for that.
Mm.
That's it.
So
it's fine. He's going to survive it. He'll be all right. He's into you.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, from the very brief conversation we've had, it feels like you have a hard time articulating yourself and a little bit of a hard time being direct.
Yeah, and yeah.
So I think that, you know, as soon as you start empowering yourself, I think that you're going to find a huge sense of relief.
Uh-huh. And he will, too, by the way. Because now you're avoiding him and pulling away, and he feels, like, angry and frustrated and upset. And why is she pulling away like that? Oh, that's just, I don't like that. Kyle. Kyle? Caller who goes by Kyle? Hey, what's happening, Kyle? You're on with Anna Faris.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
We're good.
Hey, my question for you, Dr. Drew, is I'm a gay male. I'm 20 years old. And I'm only attracted to straight men. I've met a lot of gay guys. I've tried to go out there in the community and meet them and talk to them. And I'm just not attracted to any gay men. I'm really actually put off by them.
Huh. What do you think that is?
I don't know. I have no idea. Because, like, whenever I meet, like, straight men, I'm very much attracted to them. I feel very comfortable with them. But I'm only attracted to them. Like, I meet gay guys, and they're cool, and they're fun and everything. But I'm not attracted to them physically, mentally, anything like that at all.
You know, I've heard of this. This isn't as though it's the first time I've heard of this, but I don't know quite what to make of it. I have not found any sort of pattern or trend to what sets this up or what guys are experiencing, and that's sort of why I'm putting it back to you. What can you tell me about you or your history that helps gives me some clues to why you might be feeling like this? You have any idea, Ellie, you ever heard of this?
I have heard of this, and I don't know what to make of it. I mean, maybe it is sort of wanting what you can't have.
The guys I've questioned about this will always talk about wanting to sort of soil the guys. They want to convert them, kind of thing. There's this sort of an aggressive quality to it. But I don't believe that's necessarily everybody. Kyle doesn't strike me that way at all.
Most of the guys that you meet when you go out and you're meeting gay guys, are they tend to be more effeminate? Or, I mean, how are you meeting? I mean, you know, it's a very delicate issue because it can be, I can be offending people right and left here.
Uh-huh.
But, you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, like, you know, I meet effeminate guys, and they're very nice people, but the thing is, I'm not attracted to them, but in a bizarre way, even when I meet, like, more masculine homosexual men, I'm not really attracted to them. It's very bizarre. Like, I'm very much attracted to straight men, and I don't...
Right, you like that whole psychological, spiritual person that is straight. That's what you're into.
Drew, I bet if a straight guy said, all right, let's do it, let's go in the back, he'd be like, not sure if I want to do this.
No, I bet he'd go for it. Which is it, Kyle?
I'd probably go for it because there's something about a straight man that I'm very much attracted to.
Right. Remember, it's
but they would instantly become gay as soon as they kissed him. So it
no, no. But that's the whole point is that there's something about that process or sort of containing or fusing with that person that is the straight person that's conflicted in here. I don't know what to do with that, Kyle. I'm sorry. I've heard of this before, and I don't know whether it's therapy is the answer or finding a guy that sort of, you know, there's a lot of, I've had a lot of gay friends who have an awfully straight sort of mentality about them. You know what I mean? I mean, they're always sort of, you know what I mean? That gay guy who's just, he's just all straight except he's in, just kind of like you, Kyle. They're straight except into guys, and
I'm wondering if it's linked to the same kind of thing that makes women attracted to gay men.
Right.
Certain women that are attracted.
Yes, it's that same kind of a thing.
And I think that it is like having to do with some kind of power. Like I want to change this person. I want to
contain that.
Yeah.
They want to hold that. And it's sort of the.
And it's also a safety too.
Some of it is safety and unavailability. But I wish I knew more, Kyle. I'm afraid I just don't. We have to take another break. Anna Faris and Dr. Drew. We'll be right back. Thank you, Anna Faris, for joining us. I hope you won't be a stranger here.
I would love to come back. I just had a great time.
Now that we've broken you into the Loveline experience, poor Anna.
I know.
And I was just telling her off the air that she's a very emotional person, and I was kind of following her through all this. I felt like I've had an emotional experience tonight, too. So I appreciate that.
Well, I was just saying that I'm a less naive person, and I'm...
It's harder than just listening, right? When you're listening, you think, I could do that. Why didn't they tell him that?
Yeah, and I definitely felt like moments of awkward laughter that I didn't think I would have.
Right, that was
you
such
know?
A pussy.
Yeah.
Thank you, Anderson.
Yes, thank you, Anderson.
Okay, so check out scarymovie.com. They're coming out April 14th with Scary Movie 4. I'm sure we'll see you all over the place on your press junket. And Loveline will be just a unique little... blossom amongst the rough there.
Really had the best time. Thank you so much.
I appreciate that. And look for her in My Super Ex-Girlfriend coming up this summer, as well as Smiley Face later in the summer. Is that right?
I think Smiley Face will be fall.
Smiles will be the fall. Okay. And then, of course, you can always go by the hot chick and see her there as April. Until next time, we don't know who we have tomorrow night, do we? I announced earlier that Howie Mandel was coming in. We just heard that he just canceled, just can't make him. Get him, he'll reschedule, though. All right, everybody. Good night.
Pansy.